story. And so with that in mind, we presented a really big vision for the next 2 years of ministry in our lives and in the life of our church. We called this season of ministry Cannonball and asked each of you to jump all in and make waves with us. And for 5 weeks, we gathered to worship collectively, we met in growth groups, we heard clear vision for the future, and we were challenged weekly through God's Word. We then, as individuals and families, boldly asked God to give us a vision of what it would look like if each of us did a cannonball with our lives to deepen our walk with Jesus for the sake of others and His kingdom. And I gotta tell you, the result was nothing short of amazing. We witnessed hundreds of people across all of our churches who were maybe previously just testing the waters or dipping their toe in the waters of Church of Jesus. We watched them do cannonballs in their faith stories. Hundreds of people began following Jesus for the first time, and hundreds more moved from the bleachers of church, maybe just attending a service, to getting on the playing field and even getting in the game of Jesus' mission. We also saw a stunning demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in each of us in the area of radical generosity. Our network of churches collectively committed to giving almost $27 million over a 2-year period. This remarkable outpouring of generosity is already creating ripple effects in our local communities and with our partners around the world. This has been an awe-inspiring journey so far, and we have witnessed what God has done both in our lives and through our collective generosity in these past 12 months. And we are excited to see how much more God will do this next year as we continue to jump all in and make these Kingdom of God waves together.
The church has been a way for me to reconnect with my faith. I was away for a long time, and it wasn't a big part of my life. And coming back to it, it gave me a new foundation to kind of get through the things that were coming for us.
Through this 2-year initiative that we have, I'm excited to see changes in people's lives and see their growth as well, because in that growth is freedom.
When you can see the beauty of where it goes, and you're watching videos and you see that you're helping people around the world, it excites you. It's like, we're doing a great thing around here.
Since that defining moment in February of 2017, our journey together as a church community has been amazing. We celebrated record levels of giving and generosity in the previous year and during our Christmas offering in the month of December. That generosity is creating ripple effects in the lives of so many people outside the walls of our churches. Globally, our radical generosity has allowed us to care for more orphans at Bright Hope School in Uganda, train new church leaders in the Dominican who are planting new churches, serve more women coming out of human trafficking, and so much more. Regionally, we've been a part of launching new churches as well. In the first part of 2017, we helped launch Risen Church in Scripps Ranch, and at the end of the past year, we launched our newest East Lake Network Church at Paradise Village Retirement Community in National City. We've also had 4 pastors join our residency program to be equipped, trained, and eventually sent out, starting new churches to reach new people. Locally, in our own churches, the mission is moving forward as well. We celebrated hundreds of people coming to faith in Jesus this year. We baptized more than 500 people in water in 2017. And collectively, thousands are connected in growth groups, serving in ministries, and actively blessing our neighbors, communities, and cities. God's Spirit has been moving in our hearts and in our church, and we give Him all the glory for what has been done. Everything we've accomplished is by Him, through Him, for Him. All these achievements come out of the 4 Kingdom of God waves we outlined in Cannonball: our wave of mission, wave of compassion, wave of multiplication, and wave of engagement are moving forward.
And this February serves as a halfway point in our 2-year spiritual journey together. And we believe that God has so much more in store for each of us, individually, as families, and as a movement of churches during this second year. Now, as many of you know, in many sports like basketball, which is God's favorite, by the way, they have a halftime. It's an opportunity at the midway point of the game to evaluate the first half, encourage your teammates, for the coaches to make any needed adjustments, and then go back out there on the court and finish the game strong. And that is what we are doing now. This is our halftime. This is our moment to look back, to encourage one another, and then to choose that we are going to finish strong.
You're contributing to something that's a lot bigger than you. Like, you're contributing to the mission of Jesus. And that's why I was like, I have to commit. Like, this is something that Jesus is calling me to do. This is something that it's in the Bible. I can't just make excuses for myself and feel sorry for me when it's the right thing to do.
So we made our Cannonball commitment. It wasn't a hard commitment. It wasn't a hard choice. We feel like we have gotten so much over the years from our Eastlake family that we were happy to give back.
Cannonball is not just about your money. It's so much more than that. And God wants our hearts. We're all far from perfect, and we're all at different places, and I fail more often than not, but I keep going, and it's just an amazing journey that requires all of you.
We have already been praying boldly about what God wants for us in this second half of Cannonball. God has been leading us, using us, and challenging us this first year. But just like with Abraham, God has not blessed us so it can just stay with us. He blesses us so we can share that blessing with other people, taking God's love and life out into our world. And so for this reason, we are starting a new sermon series at this halfway point called Ripple Effect. You see, a ripple effect reflects on the very nature of affecting change. Think of a single stone tossed into a body of water, and it causes a ripple effect with an almost never-ending forward motion. And this is what God has been doing through us during this Cannonball journey. And it's what God has been doing through His church for more than 2,000 years. Our theme verse for Ripple Effect is Colossians 1, verse 6. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You see, a ripple effect is how the gospel, that simply means the good news story of Jesus, has circled our globe, touching every nation and culture, and it's how the gospel has come to us today. And now we want this same good news story of Jesus to ripple from our lives to our friends and our neighbors and our classmates, our coworkers, and the communities that we live in. We want to take our place and play our part in this Jesus story of transformation as a ripple effect goes out from our lives. So at this halftime moment, we are inviting you to join us in prayer and in faith as we continue to ask God to lead us into a fully surrendered life, willingly involving and investing ourselves in His kingdom mission. So here's what we're going to do. Over the next 5 weeks, during this Ripple Effect series, we're going to celebrate what God has done. We're going to be inspired about what is still ahead of us that we have to accomplish. And we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit as we examine our own lives.
Our primary goal for Cannonball has always been 100% engagement. We want everyone at all of our churches to participate at really whatever level God leads you to do. So throughout this new series, we want to be encouraging you to consider one of three action steps. First, there are some of us who are new to the Eastlake Church Network, and you have little or maybe no idea what this Cannonball Generosity Initiative is about. You joined your church family sometime after last February, and you've heard us talk about Cannonball and share some family wins, yet you probably have some questions and even wonder how you can become a part of this journey. This new series will clearly share our vision, tell stories of faith, and clearly show you ways to jump in and make waves with the rest of us. It is our prayer that you will join the vast majority of us who made a 2-year Cannonball commitment and make a 12-month commitment of your own. We are confident that in doing so, your faith will grow and you will experience the joy that comes from boldly trusting Him with our finances.
Secondly, there are others of us that made a Cannonball commitment a year ago, many of us, and since that time, maybe have fallen on difficult times. You've had some unexpected things happen in your family or in your finances, or even something happen that has kind of shaken your faith. And maybe you find yourself wavering in what to do. And I would encourage you to show the same faith now that you did when you initially made that Cannonball commitment. I want you to know that God is with you. God knows what you've gone through, and He is still writing your story. He's not done with you yet. And He's inviting you to trust and have faith that He's able to work all things together for your good. That He didn't cause those things, but He can work good out of those things. And so I want to encourage you today, keep putting God first and trust Him with the rest. For you, the next 5 weeks of Ripple Effect are all about God's sustaining faith and asking Him to help you finish strong. So do not give up. God is not done. And then third, I know there's still others of us who made a Cannonball commitment, who may have had an increase in their faith or an increase in their finances during this past year. And it's not that making your Cannonball commitment or even keeping it might have been easy, but you are sensing that God may be stretching you to take another bold step for Him. And if He's calling you to do that, I want to invite you to do it. My wife, Rebecca, and I are already praying about this. And as we find ourselves in this halftime moment, we've already started asking what God would want us to do in this last 12 months of Cannonball. A year ago, we made the biggest generosity commitment that we had ever made in our 20 years of marriage. This past year hasn't been easy to fulfill that, but I will say God has been faithful, and we have. And as we look at this next 12 months, we feel like God is stirring something in us and leading us to even greater levels of sacrifice and generosity. And so what we're doing as a family is praying about increasing our commitment for these last 12 months. And I want to invite many of you to join my wife and I in that kind of prayer, asking God to stretch your faith and invite Him to call you to even greater places of sacrifice and surrender for His mission.
And we're excited to be stretched again. We're excited to see people take that step for the first time like we did. If you're on the fence of whether to jump in for Cannonball, I think one of the things I would just say is just do it. See what happens. Test God. See what He says about His finances, if it's true. And you're going to find out, much like we did, what happens.
I think Eastlake is an amazing investment of my time and resources because, A, it helped me get through the worst time of my life. Without it, I don't know what our life would look like. But it's invested in me, it's invested in my kids, and I've seen lives changed.
To be able to commit and maintain it is really, really powerful to help you focus on what's most important.
This first year of Cannonball has been amazing. It's honestly exceeded what I ever imagined. But isn't that what God does? Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." And this is what I believe God is going to do in all of us this next year. Infinitely more than we might ask or think. It's God's power at work within us.
And so it is my prayer for us as a church family that God would use these 5 weeks of Ripple Effect to fill us with His Spirit, to deepen our trust and faith in Him, and then prioritize His kingdom above our own. I pray that as we collectively jump all into Jesus' mission again, that these Kingdom of God waves would ripple out and bring Jesus' transformation to our communities, our cities, and our world.
Every time I see Ken Huff throw that cannonball, he becomes my hero all over again. I just love that man. although I am struggling right now with a little bit of depression, and this is not just because President's Day and the toll it takes on attendance, for the first time I was reading this sign out there that talks about groups. It's listing all the kinds of groups we have. And it says, seniors, 60 plus. I'm 61. I'm a senior? So after y'all leave today, I'm taking a black marker. I'm going to change the 60, the 0 to a 5. And then when I hit 65, I'm changing the 6 to a 7. Well, I'm really, really excited about this moment in our history together as a church. And I think that this halftime of our Cannonball journey that we began 1 year ago is going to be phenomenal. I'm looking forward to seeing how God encourages us, how God speaks to us. This series that we're going to go through the next few weeks, it's really a study in the book of Colossians, so I get to dig into the word afresh in the book of Colossians. This is just going to be a very special time this next few weeks for our church family here. Now, when it comes to ripple effects, there's nice ripple effects and then there's bad ripple effects. I experienced a really bad one just last week on a day off. I was golfing and it was a par 5 and I hit a drive right down the middle. I said, oh, God does live. Then I took a hybrid and hit it about 200 yards down, and it landed right in front of this little pond, 60 yards from the green. So I have a 60-degree wedge. For me, a 60-degree wedge, a full swing of, well, there's no such thing as a full swing of a wedge, but I mean a pretty much full swing of a wedge. That's about 60 yards for me, 60-degree, about 60 yards. The flag is 60 yards. I hit this thing, and it's going to be right there, maybe a birdie. Worst, walk away with a par. Get over the ball, take my swing, come out of my shot, and the ball goes in the water. And these ripples just started coming, and more ripples, and more ripples. That is, at that moment, I failed to appreciate the beauty of the ripple effect. Now, you may not appreciate my beauty. Few people do. But I'm a ripple. I'm a ripple, and my life is having impact, and so is yours. Now, the reason that my life is a ripple, the reason my life is impacting anybody, I can go back a few rings. I can go back to a maid who I never knew. She was a young lady from Mexico, and this lady, probably not educated, working on this side over in El Paso, Texas. And somewhere, I don't know where it happened, but this young Latina accepted Jesus. I don't know, in a mission and a church. I don't know what happened, but she was on fire for the Lord. So she was cleaning houses in El Paso, and she was cleaning this one house on a street called Hastings. The owner of the house, named Ceci Quinn, Ceci noticed the joy in this domestic worker's life. They started talking over the weeks and months. And eventually, this maid led Ceci to the Lord. Well, Ceci just got on fire for the Lord. And talk about a ripple. I used to hang out with her boys. I came to her house one day. It was the first time I'd ever seen anybody that loved Jesus like that. And wouldn't be long before I gave my heart to Christ. And then after bumbling around for a while, sold out completely to him. Went on to Bible college and have planted churches and have led a university or a Bible or a college that is now becoming a university. And preached all over the world, trying in any way I can to tell people how passionately they're loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, how completely and totally they're forgiven. So, there's, at the end of this decades of ministry, there's a few people here and there who would say that my life has impacted them for good. I hope so, anyway. But it's just a ripple a ripple from this lady's name who I don't even know her. I mean, from this lady's life who I don't even know her name. I never saw her, never met her. But because in her world, she went all in, it created ripples that anything positive that comes from my life for the remaining time that I have left is just continuing ripples from her life. Here's the point. The imagery of ripple after ripple going across a lake is a beautiful picture, but that's really what our lives are. As we start learning to surrender to Jesus, and we could be following him for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and there are still areas where the Lord is saying, follow me, let go of this. You don't need to grasp that anymore. You don't need to hold on to that. That wasn't true when you first heard it, and it's not true now about you. You can let it go. As we begin to let go of those voices and listen to the voice of the Lord, our life begins to change. And ripples start moving out from our lives, ripple after ripple. And sometimes the ripple of your life impacts this life, and then their life starts creating ripples. And then that ripple hits another life. And before you know it, the whole world is covered by this Jesus thing. This is the theme verse for our series. Let's read it out loud together. It's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, which is the book we're going to be camping out in for the next 5 weeks after this weekend. Here we go. Colossians 1, 6. Read it with me. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives just as it changed your life from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Thanks for reading that with me, by the way. This is what ripple effect is all about. Jesus' transformation going on all over the world. And this is what has happened just in this first year of our cannonball spiritual journey. I believe that over the next 10, 15 years, when we look back at what God did through this incredible season that we all get to go through together. By the way, everybody in history, they go through their season together. They experience what they're going to experience. This is ours. This is our season together. I think when we look back at our season together, we're going to look back at this two-year season, this cannonball experience, and we're going to say that had more impact and produced more ripple effect than anything I've ever experienced in my life. It's our halftime moment in Cannonball. The question is, at halftime, how do you win? That's the question you ask. In sports, you go out and score more points in the second half than your opponent. You make your adjustments in the second half to defeat your opponent. The second half is crucial. You begin the game in the first half, but you win it in the second half. Just ask the Atlanta Falcons, who were up 28-3 over the New England Patriots in the third quarter. 28-3, and they lost the game. Now, how did they lose that game? They lost the second half. They won the first half. There isn't anybody that would tell you that they didn't win the first half. They won the first half with flying colors, and they completely lost the second half. And because you lose the second half, you lose the game. So we want to win in this second half. We want to this second half, we want to really, really nail this thing. So let's go back to our primary goal, because that's what a coach does. A coach grabs his players around. Okay, remember when we started this game and we said we wanted to stop that running back? We wanted to put that kind of blanket coverage on that hot receiver they got? Remember? Okay, these are primary goals. Okay, now how are we doing? Let's make some adjustments and do it well. Here's our primary goal. Simply that everybody that calls this their church home, their community, would be all in. That was our goal, 100%, 100% participation. That we as a church would move from me to we. That's our primary goal in this whole thing. not money, it's not this, it's that. 100% participation, that we would move from me to we. We want everyone to go on this spiritual journey with it's not just a single moment or a sermon series. It's this journey that we're on, that this way of living that continues. You don't ever want to teach or lead or model something that is like, for this little season, let's do this, kind of like an artificial, and then let's get back to normal life. That whatever that is, that I don't want anything to do with that. I'm a pastor. I make disciples. I help people avoid some of the mistakes that I've made in my life. I want them to become greater followers of Christ than I could ever dream of being. And so what we're talking about is a lifestyle. A lifestyle that I'm in relationship with brothers and sisters. That I'm generous in my time and energy and prayer and resources. That I have a heart for those who the rest of society seems to have forgotten. It's a lifestyle. Now, this is not easy to do. You don't fall into it because there is a monster gravitational pull on all of us. If you're a human being, yes, all of us here today, if you're a human being, that there is a gravitational pull in you that pulls you towards self, not towards others. We almost exclusively tend to focus on our needs and our comfort and what we want. But all of a sudden we come to Christ and we bump into this thing called the cross, which was a horrific experience for Jesus. And yet he was able to say, or was able to be said about him, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Remember, Lord, take this cup away from me. I don't want to drink it. But if there's no other way, then not my will, but thine be done, Jesus said. Modeling for us this process that we're in. Lord, okay, I'm not going to give in to this gravitational pull towards self. I am going to have my ears open, my eyes open, my heart open to learn how to live like you, how to live like others. And I'm telling you, when you start learning that, you really feel the gravitational pull, because now you are going counterculture. Counterculture is not easy. The pressure of your culture to say, this is what you should believe, and this is what you should live, and this is what you should cheer for, and this is what's important, and this is what you have to have, even if you go in debt for it. This pressure is always there. And for you to stand counter that is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. But the past must never determine your future. You can't let mistakes or patterns or who your parents were or what your culture taught you, whatever. You can't let that determine your future, because when you came to Christ and when I came to Christ, I just came into a new citizenship with a new ethos. New values, new principles, new measurements of success. In the world, success is how many people consider you their boss, their everything. That's, you know, a status. That's the world. In the kingdom, he who is servant of all is considered great in the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I recognize that attendance patterns for people have changed over the years. It's a really interesting phenomenon. The average person that is part of a community of faith, they average about between 1 and 2 attendance visits a month. And that's my church. It's like Mexican food restaurant. You know, you don't eat Mexican food every day, But you say, when I do have Mexican food, that's the restaurant I go to. So I don't go to church every weekend, but when I do go to church, that's my church. I get that. I don't judge that. I don't throw no rocks at that. It is what it is. My goal is, how, Lord, can we make this such a wonderful experience of connecting with each other and connecting with you and be loved and believed in, that people would say, wild horses couldn't keep me away from that place. We're not there yet, but I'm working hard to get there. But in this passage, it's not about church going, because that's what people do. Here it is. It says, let's think about how we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and getting together even more as you see the world losing its mind. Loosely translated. If you're taking handwritten notes, underline spur one another and encouraging one another. This is the key. Those two words, one another. There are 59 one another's in Scripture. Love one another, care for one another, encourage one another, spur one another on, pray for one another, on and on and on and on. You cannot obey most of the Bible without a one another. So I understand this thing of, this surfboard is my church. This is where I meet God, you know? Or riding my horse, that's my church. I've heard that all my life from different versions of it. Yeah. But the problem is, the church is people. And if we're going to learn how to be God's people, we got to have one another's in our lives in order to pray for one another, encourage one another, to learn what it means to be this follower of Christ. You can't learn how to be a follower of Christ in a vacuum. It takes this. It takes skin on skin, in other words. If you're a part of the East Lake Network and attend any of our campuses, you're going to hear some recurring phrases. Things like, come as you are, and no perfect people allowed, and no making out on the back row. That one's not real. We only say that one in the traditional service. All of us are broken. All of us need grace. All of us need help in some area. None of us have it all together, and we can't pull it together by ourselves. We need each other. It's the premise of life in the Spirit. We need God and we need each other. And that's what we are as a church. We're a bunch of hope dealers. Some of y'all used to be dope dealers. You're not selling dope no more. And no judgment. God forgives us. There's no shame here. But what our goal is to be those who just deal hope. Deal in any situation, deal hope. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. There's hope. You don't know the mistakes I've made. Boom, there's hope. You don't know what's been done to me. There's hope. Now, you only really begin to experience this when you move, or when I move, from rows to circles. This is the way we say it around here. Circles over rows. Now, what we're saying is that the way you experience this life-changing reality of life in the Spirit, connected to God and connected to each other, the way this really fleshes out is when you get into circles. This face-to-face. The back of the person's head in front of you might just be lovely. You might right now, I can't even pay attention to Robert because it's just so beautiful the way that looks back there. But really, you can't have a relationship with the back of someone's head. The eyes, you know, what does the poet say? The eyes are the window of the soul. Sitting with someone, talking to someone. My group meets on Tuesday night. We haven't met in a while. And so we start up again this next Tuesday. And I miss those folks. And it's a place where I'm not Pastor Robert. Just Robert, and we talk and we pray and we share together. It's like life for me. And then I have another group on Wednesday night that's here. It's a men's group. And if you don't have men, if you're looking for a group, I encourage you to sign up for our men's group. And we meet here. And man, just last time was our first season together, and it was just the beginning. What I'm hoping is that we really start connecting as men. Circles represent relationships, sharing life, having a safe place no matter what you're going through. When you don't even want to be there, when you don't feel like much of a Christian, when you are so hurt by somebody or you're so filled with remorse because you've hurt somebody, you've got to have a safe place where people will meet you with love, acceptance, and forgiveness. As my friend Jerry Cook used to say. We need roles. Roles are critical. It's a good thing. But circles are essential. In the Bible, it's never either or. The Bible says that the disciples used to gather on the temple court, in the temple courts. And if you've ever been to Israel, you can see that expanse that Herod built. 250,000 people can gather up there easily. So they would go and they would teach crowds. And it says they would gather in the temple courts and then they would gather home to home. And if you've seen the ruins of a home of Israel at that time, man, if they got 12 people in there, they'd be lucky. I mean, the whole front room was about from here to this chair, maybe. Temple courts, house to house. That's what we want to do. That's what we're doing. That's where the action is. Now, following Jesus involves much more than just believing. It also includes belonging. We can believe in roles. I could preach the gospel and say, put your trust in Christ right now. And the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Right now, ask him in your... And someone in the sixth row here could say, yes, I believe that message. That's what happened to me. Yes, I believe that message. And my life was changed. Where it began the change process. You can believe in roles, but you can only belong in circles. God wants us to be in relationship with him and in relationship with one another. Matter of fact, the reason that he wants that for us, it's because we're made in the image of God. And he wants us to come into the full reality of what that image is. So if you look at God himself exists not in isolation as a solitary divine being. There's God. He doesn't exist that way. He exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Think about that. See a triangle in your mind. Yeah, it's tough to get your mind around that. But you know what? If you served a God that you could easily get your mind around, then you're serving the wrong God because he's big. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, like a triangle, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father places all things into the Son. The Son does all things by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives all glory to the Son. The Son lives to the pleasure of the Father. You have this dynamo of relationship in this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God exists in relationship. And so now we, in this process that we're in, called becoming Christ-like, becoming more like God, in our character, our essence, how we live. Relationship is huge. So, a church that is worth its salt is going to encourage us to live in this beautiful balance of corporate gatherings and home to home or group to group. Matter of fact, if you really want to know what Jesus wants for us, I'm going to give you a great way to find out. Look at the things he prayed for. If you look at what Jesus prayed for, then you have a tremendous insight into what he wants, because that's what he's praying to the Father for us. Did you know that he prayed for you specifically? It's recorded in Scripture. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's you. So I'm not just praying for these 11 that are around me in the room right here. I'm also praying for everybody that will ever come to God because of their message. That's you. That's me. He's praying for us. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in the world, I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. We are on this journey together. We want to experience life together. We want to celebrate together. We want to cry together. We want to rejoice together. We want what Jesus prayed to be answered in our lives. It's not really that complicated. If this is what Jesus prayed, here's what I pray. Not just for those who are gathered around me right now at the Last Supper, but I pray for everybody who will ever come to faith through them. This is what I pray. That they would be one. That they would be a community of faith. That they would love each other. And that through their lives, ripples of grace would circle the globe. Matter of fact, in this first line, Jesus is saying, ripple. Not just for these disciples, but for everyone who will ever believe. So, what I'm asking you is, will you join us together to create ripple effects that transform La Jolla, transform UC, transform Claremont, transform PB, transform North County, transform San Diego? These ripples of God's grace traveling through us to others. Now, some of you were here a year ago, some of you were not. In this theme song for this series, it's called Let It Echo. And it speaks of what the ripple effect does, what we are praying during this next 5 weeks and beyond. So in a moment, the musicians are going to come and they're going to play this song, and I'm going to ask you to remain seated as the song starts up. About halfway through, Justin will probably invite you to stand as we just move into this time of worship. But I believe that the message of this song is about all of us hearing something from God. And here's what I'm praying for this next 5 weeks. That those that are new to our church over this last year, which is probably about 20-25% of our church, those that are new to our church would be encouraged by what they hear and the message of the book of Colossians. And weren't here a year ago when we made our two-year commitment, but that in this time they'll say, I want to be all in too, with my heart, my life, my prayer, my ministry, my resources, all in. Others of us, second group, made commitments a year ago, but as we move through this series and book of Colossians, that we would be encouraged to say, yeah, I did that, and I'm going to finish strong. I'm going to win this thing in the second half. There's going to be some people, there's already some people that I know of, who have said, man, I started, God has blessed me. I aim too low, and I want my commitment to reflect the blessing that's in my life. There's going to be some that are going to increase. But I know God is going to speak to us and encourage us during this series. I really do. So let's begin today by just listening. Stay seated, listen in prayer, and then we're going to pray together. Let's listen to this song. Let it echo.